Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Go to Acts chapter, I used to think I was on a rabbit trail, but then I started realizing the rabbit trail's the main trail. Acts chapter 2. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 2. You spirit of toddler. Acts 2, 1. You shall receive. I'll tell you, LA people are the happiest people I've ever met in my life. Acts 2, 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present, who? Everyone. Now, I don't know how you can read that and say that this came for the first 12 apostles. First of all, they were already down a man by the time Jesus rose from the dead because Judas decided he didn't want to live anymore. So you're already at 11, so this was for the first 12 apostles. No, it says everyone present. Everybody say everyone present. You know, when God moves, if you're hungry, he actually doesn't care who you are or what your education is or isn't. When I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I was 6 years old. I wasn't looking to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Back then, my goal for the day was usually the same, not to get paddled. And so my dad was preaching at a youth camp in Indiana for the Assemblies of God. And they met in an old airplane hangar. And I remember it was hot. And when you remember it was hot, 36 and a half years after something happened, it was hot. So it was in Indiana, it's like 100 degrees and humid. At least here you have, when it gets hot in the summer, you got the wind coming off the ocean. There's no ocean in Indiana. So you're under that metal roof of an airplane hangar. It was hot. And then my dad preached on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord gave him a strange instruction because in the Assemblies of God, usually they like laying on of hands. Everything's prayer and putting your hands on people, which is good. But the Lord told my dad that night when he was praying in the afternoon, give an invitation for all the kids that want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, teenagers, have them line straight across the front and then just say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's it. So my dad gave the call. About 1,000 teenagers came up and stood across the line, and he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was as quiet as when I said, turn to Luke chapter 4. Nobody spoke in tongues. But my dad just obeyed the instruction and waited. And you could tell the leaders were nervous, like, what's this idiot doing? You're supposed to pray and pray people through and tell them to let go and no, hold on. And my dad just said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's quiet. Then after about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, that doesn't sound like a long time, but in Pentecostal churches, especially back then, it was an eternity. The 1980s, if you took a breath, people gave two messages in tongues. Pentecostals didn't like any dead air. And so my dad waited, and then sure enough, about three teenagers in the middle started to speak in tongues. And then it started to spread down the line until everyone was speaking in tongues. Well, I wasn't old enough to be at youth camp, obviously, at 6 years old, but since my dad was the speaker, I was there. And then I was in the habit of going to the altar for whatever the altar call was that my dad gave. So I remember that hitting that crowd, and then I felt it like a invisible wave hit me in the chest. And I started to speak in tongues. And obviously, they didn't teach on that much in children's church at 6 years old. So as soon as I started speaking in tongues, I popped up off the ground where I was kneeling and ran back and found my mom. And I said, Mommy, I can speak in tongues. And she said, oh, that's great. And we hugged each other and cried. Then at 7, I went to children's camp the next year and got filled again. And then that time, it stuck because I started to get around teaching. And I think my dad told me about it this time, and my mom, about that's not something you just get at the altar and pray in tongues. See, that's what happened in the 1800s and stuff. People would speak in tongues, 1700s. You read all through 1100s. People would speak in tongues. Then they'd stop, and it'd be like falling under the power. Oh, I fell under the power. I spoke in tongues. But nobody taught them that Paul taught. That's a gift that God gives you that's like a motor to rev up all the other gifts. The Bible says, where does it say that? He that prays in an unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He that prays in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries unto man, but speaks directly to God and builds himself up in the process. So the Bible teaches that when you pray in tongues, that's how you know people, you know, I'm sure they mean well, and I'm actually not sure they mean well, but I'm going to be nice tonight because, like I said, I'm in a super good mood. I don't know what this place did to me, but it softened me up. I'll be barefoot by tomorrow night if I'm not careful, saying bro every third word. I'm not sure they mean well, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They say, well, when you pray in tongues, when they did that in the book of Acts, that was to evangelize people because God gave them the words of the other people to say. And what they're doing, and I'm being nice, they're confusing whether they're doing it on purpose or not. What's called the gift of tongues, which is to be combined with interpretation, that is for other people. But then the Bible says your prayer language. That's not a spiritual gift to profit the church. That's an individual gift to profit you. Because the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you're not speaking to men, but you're speaking directly to God and building yourself up in the process. Can you say amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something. By my spirit, I don't live here. So I'm telling you this by the spirit, that you had this thing that got kicked off again, got kicked off in L.A. because Charles Parham, I'll finish that story, told his students to study that and tell him tell me what you found out when I come back. So he came back 30 days later. They had all been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues. About 2/3 of the parents made their students come home. They said, we're not having nobody spoke in tongues. There was no Assemblies of God. There was no Church of God in Christ. Those denominations formed because you were kicked out of those churches, just like you'd be kicked out now if you went. All of these churches that have a rainbow flag on the outside and say, we welcome everybody, they leave off what they should write. We welcome everybody unless you speak in tongues. So there's churches in California that if I was married to a man, they would be happy to have me speak. But if I spoke in tongues, that the people that accept everybody would throw me out. Because the Bible says you have not received the spirit of the world, but you have received the spirit of Christ. And so there is a marked differentiation right now. The middle ground has been cut out. If you choose the old dead, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 5. Timothy, know this, that in the last days, verse 1, then it tells all the signs, verse 5. Men will have a form of godliness, but they will reject the power that would make them godly. Have nothing to do with people like that. So what's happened? You're seeing it happen right now. You have to have tanks and boxing matches and sword swallowers, and you open up your church into a bunch of nonsense because they kick the Holy Ghost back out. But the same way God touched this place with the fire in 1906, in 2024, he's lighting a fire in California again. I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you what I found. They say that, well, that doesn't fly in California. I got news for you. It flew from California. California's the place where it hit and went all over the world. And as I've been coming back, I haven't found people hostile to the move of God. I found people driving hours at a shot that say, I don't want dead religion. I want the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be an old skin. I want to be a new skin that holds the new wine of the Holy Ghost. There's a hunger and a thirst in California, and God's not going to leave California hungry and thirsty. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If that's you tonight, put those two anointed hands together. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Come on, let's take 15 seconds and lift it up. Let God know you're here. I'm here to receive. I want the fire. I want the anointing. I want your power. Somebody say the power. So Parham saw what happened to his students, and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and started traveling around and telling people, preaching that this thing did not die out, it's for today. And a black minister named William Seymour, who was blind in one eye, he heard that message in Houston, Texas, and he started traveling west. Though he hadn't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, he saw it easily proved from Scripture. There's nowhere where it says, now, Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, I'm getting very old, and just so you know, when I die, all of these things are going to die with me. You actually see the opposite. Take the same fire that I put my hands on you and gave you and fan that fire into flames. Then you can study church history. Ignatius, all those guys, that they were, it was passed to the next generation. The fire has never gone out. You know, people think you have to go to somebody's grave and lay on the grave. Those people laid hands on people before they died. The Holy Ghost isn't in somebody's grave. It's an ever-burning fire, and that fire will never go out. That fire is going to live inside of people tonight. You're going to take it back to Huntington Beach. You're going to take it to Los Angeles. You're going to take it to San Diego. You're going to take it to La Jolla. You're going to take it to National City. You're going to take it to Redlands. You're going to take it everywhere you in India, wherever you live. The way we're going to overthrow the plan of the devil in California is not by might, not by power, not by Republican, not by Democrat, but a church full of people that get filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Somebody yell, I'm hungry. So he traveled across, made it to California, started preaching, was having great meetings, and then they kicked him out of the church because he was a black preacher and they didn't want to have mixed race meetings. So he didn't get mad and go back to Texas. He went and got a feed store on Azusa Street in Los Angeles and started preaching there. Now think of this. This was before Facebook Live. This was before YouTube Live. Waving to me. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. You may resume your video game. Because that's what I'd be doing if I wasn't preaching. So he rents a feed store. And then he starts preaching, and God, it's one of the textbooks I have our students read in Bible college. Lester Summerall wrote it. It's called Pioneers of Faith. Because God supernaturally, like for example, there were missionaries from Sweden, from the main denomination, all of them, none of them believed in the Holy Ghost. There weren't any denominations that believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there were missionaries from Sweden, and they happened to be in Los Angeles, and they heard there's great church meetings going on with this preacher. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they come back to Sweden, and the missions board said, how much did you get? They're meaning, how much money did you raise for missions? But they said, how much did you get? He said, I got all of it. They said, oh, that's great. And then they said, where is it? And he told them about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, got kicked out, started a church in Sweden, grew to be the biggest church in Sweden. People were there from all over the world getting filled. It was like a lightning rod where people came to get filled by the power. Now, I'm in no way likening this meeting to Azusa Street, but you do have that here. You have Southeast Asian pastors here. You have black pastors here. You have Mexican pastors here. You have all kinds of people here that are here getting touched and are going to go back and take what they have to where they are. Because God's not finished with California. In the place people think God is least likely to move, he's going to shake this place by his power one more time. Can you say amen? So the people got touched. Simple McPherson's church was here. Great churches. That wasn't the last one. All kinds of churches. Dr. Fred Price through the 70s and 80s on down the line. And then something happened, not just here, but all through the country. Turn to 2 Timothy 3:5. Let me have Leela's testimony from our church, the young lady with her mom that testified about what God did for her when they started coming to church. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. You should know this, Timothy. And again, if you could get the heat turned up, I think it's only at about 88 or so. I would love to look like I jumped in a pool by the end of the night. So just about, if you could tell the management, like 5 more degrees up, I think I'll be good. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffers scoffing at God, and disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And somebody said, that sounds like today. You'd have thought somebody wrote this on Tuesday. But this is the gift of prophecy from 2,000 years ago. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They'll have a form of godliness, but will reject the power that would make them godly. Have nothing to do with people like that. In the New Living Translation, they will act religious. We thank you for being here tonight. Just going to share a few thoughts before we go. Look over the top of the people's heads. Share a speech. No prayer. No laying hands on the sick. Church now, in many places, looks so different than the ministry of Jesus that if somebody, and some of you pastors that are here know what I'm talking about. If you start praying for the sick and leading people into the baptism in the Holy Spirit, they call you a cult. And you're not a cult. I'm gonna start telling some people, even at my two churches I pastor, it doesn't make me a cult because you won't marry your live-in girlfriend. It doesn't make me a cult because you won't stop drinking. People call you a cult, but really they don't want to give up their sin. Can you say amen? Yeah, cults don't, you know how you know you're in a cult? They don't let you leave. Here, if you leave, we'll hand you a welcome basket on the way out and a gift card to Starbucks. Amen. Say thanks for coming. It's not a cult. It's, what does the Bible say? What were old time meetings like? Turn to Acts chapter 2. What were meetings like in the Bible? You know what? Leave Acts 2 for a second. Go to Luke 4 where I started. I'm calling an audible at the line of scrimmage. Jesus returned from Galilee filled. Everybody say filled. With the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he was filled with. How many know we need the word? We do need the word. And as you read the word has a partner called the, and it's the one who wrote it. It was written by 64 authors. Yes. But basically it was written by one author through 64 vessels. Paul said, Jesus said, yes, but the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. He used different vessels to write it. So when you read the word, the Bible says the word and the spirit agree. The word is going to steer you to the spirit. There's no two ways about it. Jesus, you're four chapters into his ministry, and I don't think he was born till the end of the first or the beginning of the second. I'll look it back up at Christmas time. End of the first. So he's just beginning his ministry, and Jesus, as the Son of God, before he did his ministry, was led out into the wilderness for 40 days of prayer and fasting. When he came back, the Bible says he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, but he returned endued with the power of the Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. And so he went to the temple, as was his normal custom, and unrolled the scroll to the book of Isaiah and read, the Spirit of the Lord is Luke 14, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord, capital S, capital L, is upon me. Now, when you leave here tonight, you're going to be able to say that every day your feet hit the ground in the morning. Instead of, I feel sore, I don't know what I'm going to do, you're going to lift your hands and say, thank you, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to do what? Everybody say power for a purpose. You know, I'm not against dancing. I'm for dancing. I'm not against any of the manifestations of the Spirit. But a lot of times in old time Pentecostal church, it was like they'd feel that power come on them and they'd dance or roll around or whatever, which is great. That happened in the Bible. But, and it did happen. Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ to them. Crowds listened intently, starting at verse 4. Crowds listened intently to what he had to say because of the miracles that he did. Everybody say miracles. So his preaching had miracles, and Philip was not one of the 12 apostles. He was an evangelist. He preached Christ to them, and crowds listened intently to what he had to say because of the miracles that he did. For what kind of miracles? The grass grows every day. Those are backslidden. Those aren't miracles. Those are the opposite of miracles. Because a miracle, by definition, is the intervention of the power of God that suspends or alters natural law. And so the Bible says they listened to him, not just because of his speaking, but because of the miracles that he did. What kind? For many that were paralyzed or crippled and lame, were healed. So if you were in early church meetings in the book of Acts, and the church should look like the book of Acts. I got about 28% amens. The church today should look like the church of the book of Acts. Well, why doesn't it? Because as the Lord spoke to me when I was getting ready to start my church, if you want what they, you know what the Lord spoke to me? You're right to say that, that the church now should have now what they had in the book of Acts. But if you want what they had, you have to do what they did. And so they weren't just goofing off. They weren't having people rip their shirts off and swallow sharp objects. The Bible says they were daily in prayer. You know, there's a lot of churches, they tell people, how many know the church doesn't pray anymore? I feel like asking them, when's the prayer service? Well, we don't have that. Okay, well, don't scold people for not praying if you're not going to lead them in prayer. But the early church prayed. The early church was daily at the apostles' feet, listening to the word of God. And as they prayed, one time when they were praying, the building where they were meeting shook. When you engage God's power will come and find you. It'll pick you up out of whatever pit you're in and put your feet on the rock to stay. I see that power coming upon you tonight. Your ministry is going to be different. Your family is going to be different. Your life is going to be different. California is going to be different because the power of God will never leave you like it found you. If you can testify to that, can you say a loud amen? Amen. Power, real power. Holy Ghost power. Bible says when they prayed, not people were shaken. People have a problem with that now. The building, the meeting place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought they just got filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. They all got refilled. You know why? The Bible says in Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, for that will ruin your life. But it makes a type of it. Just like you see people outside of God try to get something through booze. Jose Cuervo, Grey Goose, whatever. They're trying to get something. You hear people that drink, that helps me forget about my problems. That loosens me up. That makes me happy. Well, the devil's substitute through alcohol. And I know I'm in California. I've had pastors tell me when I preach here, not you guys. You know, you don't preach on alcohol in California. People drink here. Oh, this is the state where people drink. I was wondering where all the alcohol sales were. They tell me when I go to preach, the pastor called me, invited me to Australia. Don't, you know, I know our background, but kind of lay off alcohol while you're here because people drink. People drink in Pennsylvania. People drink in West Virginia. People drink in Jamaica. People drink in Germany. You listen to people. I'm Irish. I drink. I'm Jamaican. I drink. Alcohol's everywhere because alcohol is the devil's type of what God gives through the new wine of the Holy Ghost. So you hear people, I drink to forget my problems. I drink to make me happy. I drink to loosen me up. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't have any concerns. I don't have any worries. I don't have any problem with joy because there is a wine of this world, but there is a new wine of the Holy Ghost that you can drink without charge, and God will give you for free what the devil substitutes. Somebody say, I want the fire. Crowds listened intently to what he had to say because of the miracles that he did. For many that were paralyzed or lame were healed. And many that were demon possessed. Demons left their victims screaming as they left. Without the power of God, people that are victimized by devils stay victimized their whole life. Because you can't medicate out demon spirits. Turn to Mark chapter 9. As it goes quiet, I feel like this isn't a refresher course. For some people, this is new information, but you're eating it up. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Put a marker in Mark 9. Let me finish Luke 4. How did Jesus begin his ministry? Everybody say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For what reason? Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. There's an anointing to preach. Crowds listened intently to what he had to say. There was something in his message that magnetized people. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say a better amen? Amen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Now, that word anointed is an interesting word in the English language, because you don't use that anywhere except church. My wife, I found out after we got married that she's Puerto Rican and she speaks Spanish. When I was dating her, I just knew she was curvy. Amen. And I found out what she was after. It wasn't really important to me. And so she had a Spanish Bible in her house, and I was studying on the anointing, and I wanted to see what that meant in Spanish, or what word they use, because I know a little Spanish. So I looked at it, and the word for anointing in Spanish is unción, U-N-C-I-O-N, and there might be an accent somewhere in there. Unción, and I can relate to that in English, unction. So anointing you don't use, but in English you use unction. And so there is, that's a great word for the anointing, because you don't read anything in the Bible like the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah and he took a nap. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus and he went to sleep. The Bible says if the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken. So the anointing is a quickening power. It quickens your mouth to speak. It quickens your mind to think. It quickens your body to loose the power of God to other people. So without that quickening power, when you hear about people's trouble, the best you can do is hold their hands. Oh God, help them as they go about their life and deal with this difficulty. But the anointing gives you a quickening power to deal with the problems of people at the root. Can you say amen? Okay, I'm going to give you an example. There's a man in Louisiana, and they have the video queued up, and this will show you what the anointing does. In a service similar to this, where you can start to feel, you can feel the power of God moving in the room, and it's going to move stronger. Well, what happens is, because everything that's good is resident in the Holy Ghost. So when the Holy Spirit starts moving, it gives people faith. We talked about that last night, that when I was preaching those crusades under the anointing, even though I wasn't preaching about healing or miracles, people came up and said, can you pray for my baby? She has leukemia. Then you talk to them. Where do you go to church? Oh, I've never been to church. So what was that that made somebody that was told their child will die, there's probably nothing we can do, and then they hear the Bible, and they get in that atmosphere, and they say, hey, wait a minute. Why don't you pray for my child? And they didn't say it like, you know, crying, like a church person. Excuse me. I was listening to you. Can you pray for my daughter? I believe something good's going to happen to her. See, faith is in the anointing. In fact, the Bible says, pray always in the Holy Ghost, building up your most precious faith. Faith is not lessons like math, though there is word on it, there's laws, but ultimately the Bible says we have the same spirit of faith that the psalmist had, who said, I believe God, and so I speak. Everybody say, I have faith. Say, I believe God, and so I speak. And so that's a quickening power that ignites faith that's in your spirit and then looses it out of your mouth. Since you guys are so attentive and like easy to preach to, I'll say some things I don't say other places. You say, man, I thought you were loose-lipped. Oh, no, I'm usually censored because we have these cameras here, but I'm going to uncensor myself a little. I'm going to tell you some stuff that would be too strong to say most places, but I'm going to tell you how powerful that anointing is. I was preaching for an older pastor. He's with the Lord now. He went to be with the Lord beginning part of this year, end of last year. His name's Pastor David Farina. He was the senior pastor at his church. I think he died at 92, still is the senior pastor preaching every Sunday. And so old Pentecostal guy, spirit-filled guy out of the Bronx. And then his church was outside of Philadelphia. I said, this is a beautiful building that you have here. This is one of the nicest churches I've ever been in. He said, I'll tell you how the Lord gave it to us. That's how those old guys talk. Everything was the Holy Ghost, and we need to go back to that. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm glad when if I give a testimony about my ministry, there's nothing involved with a sword swallower. It all glorifies Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so he said, this building was a bingo hall. And then the bingo hall went out of business. And we heard about it, and I felt in my spirit it was the right place. So he said, I went with the realtor to check it out. And when we did, there was an old guy that lived across the street. And he came from across the street and he said, what are you people looking at buying this building to do? Like aggressively. You know, East Coast, not laid back like you folks. And too laid back like the people that are driving near LAX. that have no clue where they're going. I bet you you've had enough. I have to recommit my life to Christ by the time I get to the hotel. But anyway, we'll keep moving. What are you folks buying this property for? He said, for a church, thinking it was going to make him mad or something. He said, what kind of church? He said, Pentecostal church. And he said, the old guy threw his hands up and began to cry and say, thank you, Lord. So that's weird. So the pastor said, can you answer me why this moved you so much? He said, see that house where I live in? That's the house I grew up in. That was my mother's house. My mother was a Pentecostal. He said, when I was a boy, there was no building here. It was an empty field. But my brother and I would often hear her while she was reading her Bible and praying on the front porch. She would stand up, walk to the edge of the porch, and point at this field and say, field, field, hear ye the word of the Lord, for you shall not stay barren. You shall birth a Pentecostal church that will raise up many men and women of God that go to the far corners of the earth. And he said, my brother and I were boys, but we remembered her saying that. And then as we waited, we never saw anything in the field. Then they built a huge building. And we thought, mom's prophecy's coming to pass. But it was a bingo hall. It wasn't a church. Then the bingo hall failed. And he said, so I was watching. Then you guys came, and that's the fulfillment of the word of the Lord. So number one, what the mother prophesied came to pass. Number two, that was a confirmation for Brother Farina that this is the right property. Did you know God has a flow in the Holy Ghost? You don't have to live life beating your head against the wall, trying to do your own thing. There's three paths in life. You can follow the devil's path, which, as you can ask some of the people in Hollywood right now, you can do well for a little while, but for every dollar the devil gives you, you'll pay him back 100 if you live to spend it. He'll pull the rug out from you eventually because he doesn't come to bless. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Can you say amen? Amen. In fact, some of these music stars that are going down, look when they're going down. The devil used them and their music to mess people's lives up, glorify drugs, glorify violence. Now that their time's up and they don't sell albums anymore, I'm taking you down to hell. There's the devil's path. Then there's your path, where you say, no, I'm not going to live the devil's path, but I'm not getting into all this stuff either. I'm going to do things my own way. That's where America is mostly. Value education, get a degree, get a business degree, get an English degree. Value your own physical education in the flesh. And I'm not preaching stupidity, but the Bible says the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens and gives increase. You'll find if you study it. These are not in church books. This is actual statistics. The highest rate of suicide is among the ultra educated and the ultra wealthy because they've done everything right and they found there's still a part of you and a part of life that you can't figure out without God. And so if you try to live life in your own strength, you have no answers for the problems of life. But thank God tonight, on this Thursday night, I'm trying to get you on a different path. There is a straight and narrow path of the Holy Ghost where you can walk in the power of God and get in the flow of the anointing. That yoke is easy. That burden is light. I tell everybody that's here that's been having it hard, having it difficult, you're not going to leave here fighting the same battles. You're going to take a different path tonight and get in the flow of the Holy Ghost. If you believe that with me tonight, celebrate ahead of time. Take 15 good seconds. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Somebody say, there's a different flow. Oh yeah. God will show you what to do. God will show you where to go. God will show you what path to take. You know, Brother Farina, you know how that helps you? I can tell you from the minister's perspective. Because you think, you know, no, we need a bigger church. It's going to be $1 zillion. Am I even really, you know, your mind kicks in. Am I even really calling to the ministry? You know, what am I doing? Then you go and do that. Stand on that field and think you're going to buy a bingo hall. And an old man comes and tells you, you're not doing your own thing. You are actually a fulfillment of a prophetic word that came out of the belly of a woman who was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it gives you a charge because you realize I'm not doing life on my own. Can you say amen? Amen. I want to tell you tonight, you're not, you can if you want, but you don't have to do life on your own. You can follow that command in the book of Acts from Jesus. It's not a side command. Jesus said to the disciples, Don't do anything until you receive the power that comes from the Holy Ghost. Why do you need that power? Look at Peter before he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He couldn't confess Christ to a child. He denied Christ to a girl child. I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. But then when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of them? And began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers, because it's a supernatural language. My grandfather pastored in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He has four sons. They're all alive now. He's in heaven. He would take the four sons to the YMCA to go swim Saturday night. You know, if you have boys, you know, to get the energy out of their system. So he's sitting there waiting for church to start, just preparing his notes for church while the boys swim. And there was a guy from Greece that was in Harrisburg on business. So he started, my grandfather loved talking to people, especially unsaved people. And Christians kind of irritated him. Maybe you can relate. So he's talking to this guy's never been to church. He's from Greece. And my grandfather was a warm guy. He won him over. He said, why don't you come to church on Sunday? I'm preaching. I think you'll enjoy it. He said, yeah, I'll come. I've never been to church. I think I'll enjoy that. Well, like would happen often then, back when the Holy Spirit was allowed to move in churches. You have some nerve announcing at your church that you're going to have a Holy Spirit night. Who do you think you are? You know, we weren't allowing the Holy Spirit to move. You hear people actually make this announcement. You know, we've been getting a lot of emails and talking to people, and there's people that are hungry for God. So on the third Sunday night of every month, we're going to have a Holy Spirit night. Are you? Can you imagine telling your wife? I know we haven't been spending much time together, but I just was thinking, on the third Wednesday of every month, I'm going to take you to Applebee's for 85 minutes, and the second it hits 85 minutes, I'm out of here. Let me tell you something. God won't go where he's not honored. The Bible says, if you honor me, this is in 1 Samuel, if you honor me, I'll honor you. But if you lightly esteem me, I will reject you. Now, you would think it would say, if you honor me, I'll honor you. If you reject me, I'll reject you. But it doesn't say that. It says, if you honor me, I'll honor you. But if you lightly esteem me, I will reject you. I was getting ready to preach at a church in West Virginia, and the pastor called me before I got there. And he said, I'll tell you the whole story. I needed that meeting. I wanted to preach. That was my only source of income. And finally, I have a meeting. Well, this guy calls me 2 weeks before. Jonathan, I know, because our people were telling us from the summer camp you preach, that you like to call people out in the gifts and pray for them. He said, I believe in that stuff. You know, it was, I won't say what denomination it was, but it rhymes with Assemblies of God. So on paper, they believe in that, you know. He said, I believe in that, but. See, I believe in that, but is what's killed America. Because you have churches that they'll tell you. Actually, me and most of the staff are baptized in the Holy Spirit. We just don't talk about it on Sundays. You don't talk about it on Sunday. What day do you talk about it? Monday night football? I know you call people out in the gifts and pray for them. But we're not really, we've seen a lot of hurt from that. Okay. So they said, he said, you're welcome to come, but I'd ask you not to do that. Well, I'll tell you. 99% of me wanted to say, no problem. Because the last call I took before he called was Verizon telling me I'm 2 months behind on my cell phone and they're going to shut it off. Okay, no problem. Whatever you say, sir, I need a check. And I felt on the inside of me, I almost felt like this is a test. And so I know the Lord's watching. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. And this is what the Lord gave. This came right up out of my spirit. I said, if somebody invited me over to their house for dinner and said, we like you, but please leave your wife behind, I wouldn't go for the sake of my marriage. That would be a tough conversation to have with your wife. Hey, I'm going to dinner. Oh, just you? Yeah, they said they don't like you, but they like me. So, well, in a way, to side with them, I've kind of sided against her. And really, that would probably begin the process of a divorce, even if it took a couple years. Can you say amen? And I feel like people don't realize that God said he's a jealous God. He won't go. You know, when you get up behind the pulpit and say, we're open at this church for the move of the Holy Spirit. That's not how the Holy Spirit moves, because you're open. What does that even mean? That's how jabronis talk. No, you don't have the Holy Spirit move because you're open to it. The Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. There's to be a hunger in people. I don't want religion. I want the power of the Most High God. I want to see God move in a mighty way. I want to see the streams that flow from the Holy Ghost, the mighty rivers that gush up from within, do in 1 year what I couldn't do in 50 years. That's what God's going to do in your life. If you'll yield yourself to the Holy Ghost by December 31st, you'll see God do more than all the years before that. Because if you yield, the impossible one begins to make the impossible real to you in Jesus' name. If you receive that one more time, take 15 seconds, clap your hands and rejoice. Somebody say, I want the fire. I want the fire. One more time, I want the fire. I haven't watched any pastors that are here, your live streams. I've been preaching twice a day pretty much since I left you. This is not aimed at anybody. Do you think with what's going on, I wonder if pastors leave their house sometimes. I'm here as an evangelist. I'm a pastor. I pastor two churches. I wonder if people leave their homes that are in the ministry. Walk down by Venice Beach and watch people dancing with no partners on ketamine or whatever. At 1 a.m, laying passed out in heroin. You think people need a message on 3 keys to time management? The power of saying no. How many know? Because we agree to so many things, we lose control of our time. And if we could learn to say no to certain things and prioritize, you know, that's all true. That's not the Bible. It's like people will preach anything but the direct gospel. My wife and I have a book on marriage. It'll be a cold day in hell when on a Sunday morning, we're sitting on two sofas talking about marriage with our hands. We're going to talk about marriage this Sunday for 4 weeks, starting now. That's not church. You're not going to read that in the book of Acts. You want to know something? I know it sounds oversimplistic, and you might disagree, as long as you remember that I'm right. The things people try to solve with marriage count. I'll give you an example. I was preaching in Montreal on a Sunday night, and the move of God broke out. It's still to this day one of the most special meetings I've ever had. Because I was on an extended fast. I was believing for breakthrough, but like our ministry to go to another level. And God answered it that night. I had preached a youth and young adults camp. Actually, when I preached in Vancouver, that pastor, Pastor Oscar, he was at that camp and him and his wife got touched by the fire in their pastorate. I love that stuff. Now that 10 years have gone by, to see that these little retreat centers and stuff, when you let the Holy Ghost move, they produce a measurable weight of glory for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. This meeting in LA this week is going to not stop on Friday night. It's going to roll like mighty waves of the sea, and the devil's going to get speed bagged by the power of God. Somebody shout amen like thunder. Somebody say Holy Ghost power. Yeah, what'll make a little Puerto Rican woman like my wife that stopped drinking, not started drinking, stopped drinking at age 15? Just to give you a little background. Then she gets saved. What will make a 5'4", 120-pound Puerto Rican? 128. 128-pound Puerto Rican. Walk in to a men's prison with 31 violent offenders and have them in tears giving their life to Jesus Christ. She didn't get stabbed. She didn't get shanked. She didn't get cursed at. The guards were telling me, these guys don't even come when the other Bible study people come. They were actually asking her after, what religion is this? No, it's Christianity. No, we've gone to the Christian meetings before. This is different. No, you went to dead religion, but Christianity is not dead. It carries the life of the resurrected Christ on the inside. Come on, I don't hear anybody in here. And that light, that life is greater than the darkness and the death that's in California. It'll blow the devil out of Oakland. It'll blow him out of San Francisco. It is the resurrection life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I want the fire.
I want the fire.
I won't say which drug cartel guy it is. Because if I said, you'd know. Then they'd know where his guy is in witness protection. One of that guy, if I said his name, he's a famous cartel guy. If you're watching from any of the cartels, this is just what happened. I want to stay cool with me and you. They have him in witness protection. And he came to hear my wife preach. They said, guards, man, he never comes to these things. Then my wife pops out a little Spanish in her preaching. And he goes from sitting with his head down to looking up. God gives her a word. She doesn't call him out. Tailors it into the message. Starts speaking it, bouncing out of English and Spanish. And he's crying, sitting in the seat crying. Comes up and receives Jesus Christ. You're not allowed to touch the prisoners. And the prisoners aren't allowed to touch you. But that guy, like he's lived most of his life, doesn't care what the rules are. After he finished praying, went and gave my wife a huge hug. Thank you. This is amazing. I feel different. Are you going to be here next week? Oh, yeah. My wife's been going every week. And then it's growing now. Because when they came the second week, they said, you guys came back. So if churches ever do go, they go once as their love week to alleviate themselves of the guilt. Now we've reached those people. Then you go back. Then they come back week two, week three, week four. Now they're having to go to two sessions because too many people are signed up. Can you say amen? So what'll take a 15-year-old alcoholic and turn him into a woman that's got the fire that can go into the men's prison and bust the devil's head and clear him out of the worst of sinners? Let me tell you something. It's not her might. It's not her education. It's not her background. It is the fire of the Holy Ghost. And that same fire that's burning in her is burning in me. It's burning in you tonight. You're not leaving here like you came. You're leaving here with power from on high. Go ahead and take 15 seconds again. Lift it up. Say it out loud. Not by might.
Not by might.
Not by power.
Not by power.
But by my spirit.
By my spirit.
Says the Lord. Give Jesus a thunderous hand clap in this place. Remind him why California's his favorite state. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all the inhabitants that dwell therein. Can you say amen? So that night in Montreal, I was preaching, and this didn't happen a lot back then. Italian Pentecostal church, Sunday night, 160 people or so. And I saw a young lady crying her eyes out, and I could tell I wasn't preaching on anything sad. She was getting touched, bent over. I could tell the Lord was touching to her, completely shut in with God. Well, I don't know anybody in that church. So I just said, stand up, young lady. And she stood up. I said, step into the aisle, lift your hands. I said, in the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. She went out under the power. That church, I found out later, doesn't even believe in falling out under the power. You know, there's a lot of things churches don't believe in. And if I went to that church, I wouldn't believe in it either. If you've had 80 consecutive years of services with not one healing, I wouldn't believe in healing. Bible says, Paul said, when I brought you the gospel, it was not in word only, but in the demonstration of the power of God. I did this that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the demonstration of the power of God. I saw things in my dad's meetings growing up that made it where my high school teachers or professors could say whatever they wanted. I told the one guy, I said, if you're trying to swing me, it's too late, brother. I saw enough by the time I was 8 or 9. You ain't going to talk me out of this. I know what I saw and I know what I felt. Well, she falls out under the power. And as she lays on the ground, you could hear her bones start to pop and snap. And her parents could hear it. I didn't know they were there. They were. Her dad was a deacon. He was like over here. And the mom was sitting in another section. So I saw this man and woman get up and converge on her. And she gets up and starts moving around. Well, I find out she's a teenager that was born with severe juvenile arthritis and was all bound up like that. And God completely, I mean, like visibly healed her body. And he, even me, because I didn't have that stuff happen much back then. Everybody's saying, praise the Lord. I was like, amen. But on the inside, I was like, son of a gun. This is serious. Well, it's not done. Just like when the devil does an attack. If you don't put it to rest, somebody dies. Then the wife goes on antidepressants. Then the children get out of church. It goes down a wrong path. If you don't put a check on it, the attack of the enemy won't cease. And there's many people, that's what your lives have been like tonight. Something hits your mother. Something hits somebody in your family, and it's just gone through the family. But when a miracle happens, it's the same way. It'll hit the one person, and then like ripples in a pond, it'll go out and mess up all of the devil's plans. I tell you again, for the fifth night in a row, I see every plan of the devil against your life permanently messed up by midnight tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God. Well, this other guy, he was there that night. His name was Nick. And they did a surgery on his back and it messed up his nerve. And his leg went numb, the sciatica nerve. And so he couldn't move. I don't mean like it hurt to walk. I mean his leg, they severed his sciatica nerve. So his one leg was paralyzed. And he said, would you pray for me? I said, stand up, not knowing anything happened. And I guess I said, stand up so forcefully, he stood up. And then he went, well, I can stand up. And I prayed for him, and he went out under the power. When he got up from the ground, he ran around the building. Then when he got done running around the building, ran straight to his wife, knelt down and grabbed her hands and said, I'm so sorry. Please take me back. Well, I found out they were going to get a divorce. There was all kinds of problems in their marriage. He had completely backslidden. And look at that. When he got healed, I didn't tell him, no, go run to your wife. I'm in Montreal, Canada. I don't know a soul. And he runs over to her and makes things right. And that thing started breaking loose through the whole crowd. And God gave us a breakthrough that night. And I saw God do by his power. It was like one after another after another. I'll tell you how powerful it was. I'm good. I'll tell you how powerful it was. There's a guy I play video games with. He's not exactly the most spiritual person, but he was in the meeting that night at 16 years old. The next year, he went on a mission trip with us and helped us start a church in Hawaii. And then we were playing. Now he's 30. And he said, hey, Jonathan, do you remember that meeting you did at my church that one Sunday night where that girl got healed of juvenile arthritis? This is 15 years later. I said, I do. He went, that was powerful. He said, just in case you don't know, that changed me. See, they say stuff like, how many know they won't remember the sermons we preach? They'll remember the way we live. No, that's what people that can't preach talk like. You can actually, when you mount the pulpit and do a meeting, you can let the Lord work through you in such a way that it puts a story in people for the rest of their life that I once was lost. Let me tell you something. That guy that worked for the person I'm not going to name, he's going to say for the rest of his life, there's a Puerto Rican woman that came to the cell I was in when they were holding me in protection. And when she preached, I gave my life to the Lord and I'm different now. That's going to happen for everybody that's here tonight. I didn't fly to California to encourage you a little bit. I came here to leave a deposit of the fire of the Holy Ghost that you leave out of this place tonight and tell the devil, who do you think you are? I'm going to bust your head from now till when Jesus comes. and you're going to do it with ease, because it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by the Spirit of Almighty God. Somebody shout amen like thunder. Say it right out loud. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Well, this video is going to show you what happens when that happens. Because there's a guy in Louisiana. And he's in the meeting. He drove an hour and a half, whatever. And he comes up to me after. He's a pastor. And he said, my mother is very sick. You'll hear how sick she was. Will you pray for this cloth? I'm going to take this cloth to her tonight. See that? Everybody say unction. That's an unction. Without the unction, people say, can you keep my mom in your prayer? That's no unction. Or he'd say, the next time I see my mom, I'm going to pray with her. You know, my services don't exactly get out early. So for a guy that drove 2 hours to say he's going to drive 2 hours back that night and he has to work in the morning and pray for the mom, see, that's the fire. People that are full of God don't have a three-year count. At our church, we have our calendar drawn out 3 years in advance. I don't like you. Me and you can't be friends. Because there's a quickening. See, when you get around big men of God, they do stuff like this. It's like, I feel to do that now. Let's do that now. Bishop Dag Haywood Mills that I played those videos of. When I was in, what country was I in? Liberia with him. He said to me, I thought God was done with America. You know, if you watch CNN International, you'd think God was done with America too. But he said, after preaching at your church, and I was sending him some articles and stuff, he said, I can see that God is changing the heart of that nation. He said, what do you think about doing one of these big crusades in America? And I said, oh, I'm for it. What city are you thinking about? He said, why not do it in Pittsburgh? I said, sure thing. So, you know, I said to him, want to do it in September or October? You know, this was like last month. And he went, yes. You know what I heard him say a couple weeks ago, preaching in Africa? He said, anytime somebody wants to do something next year, I don't want anything to do with them. He said, because when the Lord lays something on your heart, it's now. There's a quickening power. Even my wife going to that prison, she told me the week before, I was reading the Bible that Jesus said I was in prison and you never visited me. And I realized I've never done that. I'm going next week. See, you miss more by indecision than wrong decision. When the Lord speaks and you want to run it by people for 8 months and stuff, you're making a huge mistake. Look at even California. We had the crowd we had in January. Then we announced this quick. Iran firing missiles at Israel and Israel firing them back at Iran doesn't necessarily make me feel like having a 3-year plan to reach California. I feel like the time, like it's overdue for people to get to reach out for the power of God and say the time is short. Use me now, Lord, to do in 9 months what normally would take 30 years. And I'm telling you, there is an acceleration anointing for that. Amos 9:13, the day will come, says the Lord, where the plowman will overtake, where the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. I, the Lord, will hasten it in my time. Jesus in John chapter 4, say not planting and then wait 4 months until the harvest. For I say unto you, look now, the fields are white and ready for harvest. I'm telling you. Being in California, I don't see hard people. I see white fields that are ready to give their life to the Lord. People from Fiji, people from Sri Lanka, people from Iran, people from Iraq, people from Austria, people from Hungary, people from Belarus. The devil's not going to know what hit him. There's going to be a fire that burns through here that undoes the plan of the devil. Somebody say out loud, I'm going to be a part of it. See, if you wait for, I believe that with you, Brother Jonathan. I pray the Lord does it. The Lord's not going to do it. You have to do it. See, it got quiet because people don't like that. How many believe He'll do it? He's not. I'm telling you right now, He's not going to do it. Jesus, if Jesus wanted to do it, that's the whole point of the Bible. You think it's better if I stay than if I leave. But it's actually better for you if I leave than if I stay. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus were here? No. Because if I stay, I cannot send another. He is the Holy Spirit who's with you now, but later will be in you. Somebody say, in me.
In me.
Let me ask you a question. If he's in you, why are you singing songs at your church about Holy Spirit come? Holy Spirit come. You have a Bible that somebody ripped Acts 2 out of? The Holy Spirit came. You know, he's not a prisoner in heaven that you got to tear him out of a portal to come down to L.A. I believe there's an open portal over L.A. I don't know. You sound like a Star Trek person. I don't believe that. That's weird doctrine. Brother Hagin didn't teach that. Oral Roberts didn't teach that. Any of these guys, A.A. Allen didn't teach that. The portal is not from heaven to the earth. The portal is from your belly out of your mouth. Because the Bible says in that day, Jesus said, rivers of living water won't flow from heaven. They'll flow from within. I said they'll flow from within. But this spake he of the Spirit who had not yet been given, but would be given to all who believe. Somebody say, I have a river of life flowing out of me. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't understand that, you're going to be a little victimized, nothing Christian your whole life. You know, where I live, there's a lady in our neighborhood. I believe she's a witch. Who cares? Buy her a new broom. That's a blessing. Here's for your travels. Now, how come somebody can feel immobilized? I preached for a guy in Vermont. I shouldn't have said what state, but I already did. He told me he had 21 people in his church when we went there. He said, you know why this church won't grow? He pointed up on the hill. He said, there's three teenagers that practice witchcraft up on that hill, and they say curses to this church. Now, I had no plan of sharing the rest of the story, but I'm this far in. Now, this is me cleaned up at 43. That was me at 22 and 23. There was nothing to sue me for. I could say whatever I wanted. There were no lawyers or insurance. So when he said that, it so ticked me off that you could be a full gospel pastor that thinks three teenagers that had a $50 Hot Topic gift card and bought some witchcraft clothes could stand up on there and pronounce curses on your church and keep it from growing. To be that ignorant of the Bible so bothered me. In fact, it still bothered me. It's been 20 years. When he got all done saying about the curses, and they light a fire at least once a week, and they put stuff in the fire and pronounce curses, I said, when are they going to light the fire again? He said, I don't know. It's usually like on Saturday. I said, well, when they do, I said, do you have my cell phone number? He said, yeah. I said, you call me, and let's drive up. We'll have a 24-pack of Mountain Dew, and let's pee it out. Not pray it out. Not ask the Lord to do something about it. I'll go stomp your fire out myself. I'm not praying about things that Jesus already defeated. Can you say amen? Now, I'm going to tell you this. Everybody say, the devil is not over my head. The devil is under my feet. Now, if the devil's under... Boy, it sounds like this thing's going to break out into a riot. If the devil's under my feet, I'm not trying to put him under my feet. He's under my feet. Sometimes I don't feel like it. That's your problem. You go by your feeling instead of the Word of God. But the Bible says we don't walk by sight, which means how we feel. We walk by what? And the faith is in God's Word. I don't care what I feel. I care what the Bible says. And the Bible says, I am seated. He made me to sit together with Christ far above. Everybody say, far above. When I speak, witches must be quiet. Hallelujah. You know, forget those three kids in Vermont. I was just in Liberia with Bishop Dagg, and he had me do the 7 a.m. service, which was a miracle that I could even say coherent sentences at that time. There was a guy that got prayer. I taught on that. I didn't hoot and holler, much calmer than I am right now. I taught on how the devil's under your feet. Then I laid hands on everybody. A guy gave a testimony that night that was so profound. Bishop Dagg at lunch said, did you hear that guy's testimony last night? He said he went to a witch doctor and made a deal with him for something he wanted done, and they had him wear a ring. That was the trinket he had to wear. He said anytime he went to take it off, there was a demon that would appear to him And if he didn't put it back on, the demon would attack him. It's Africa. I know it doesn't exactly make everyone happy. Kind of sucks the air out of the room. But I'm telling you what happened. So this isn't like small demon possession or small. This is like Africa, blood right demonic stuff. He said, I listened to him teach about how Satan's under our feet because it's the new believers class. He just got saved the night before. And he said, I got in line to get hands laid on me. He said, when he laid hands on me, I couldn't pull the ring off. And I was thinking, neither can I, but it's not because of demons, because of weight gain. I'm heavier now than I was when I got married. He said, when he laid hands on me, I fell out under the power and the ring flew off my finger. He said, and when it did, I saw that demon appear. And when it appeared and walked towards me, fire shot down on the demon and burned it up and it ran away. And he gave that testimony that night. I'm telling you, the devil's too small to be messed with. Jesus broke his back. Jesus punctured his skull 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Whatever's been given to your life from the devil, you're not leaving here with it tonight. The devil's not over your head. The devil's under your feet. Come on, if you believe it, take 30 seconds and celebrate it. Come on, celebrate. You're on the winning side. You have the victory. Somebody shout hallelujah. So I say the devil's under my feet. You be seated. So you're going to have a pastor talk about three teenagers up on the hill. And then you're going to have a girl named Adalys Shuttlesworth go into a violent offender's wing. You think there's no demons there? Who knows what that guy from that cartel's done to people? Lowered them into vats of acid and lie. How many bodies they've disposed of? Highly demonized people. And one woman full of the Holy Ghost walks in, and it's not like she was able to survive. Praise God, because she's filled with the Holy Spirit, no one was able to kill her. No, when she went in, the things that were of the devil got cleared out of the people, because darkness can't drive out light. Light drives out darkness. There's a fire that God's putting in your belly. When you go back home, the devil's not going to know what hit him, because the greater one lives in you. Come on, I don't hear anybody in here. I got the fire. Fire. Fuego. So I say, I got the fire. Say, I'm keeping the fire. There's a guy I knew a while back. We were close to the same age. I watched him preach. And last time I saw him, I said, what happened to you? Hello, as we gather here tonight, what happened to you? Where's the fire? I'm not saying you have to jump up on the chairs and yell, but I'm also not saying you don't have to. Where's the fire? Why are you 30 years old and you talk like you're 88? Hello, I'm just visiting. We're doing the Wednesday night service. Just a couple of thoughts to share. I don't want to keep you too long. How about just don't keep them at all? If the first line's out of your mouth when you preach an apology for the sermon, then just save everybody the misery and dismiss. You should come into the pulpit knowing you heard from God. I got a message from heaven for you. And that's for the preachers. And then if you're a regular person, that lady that said, field, field, hear ye the word of the Lord, she wasn't a preacher, just a spirit-filled Christian. She spoke a church into existence, built with bingo hall money. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's people that have built buildings in Los Angeles that they think are for other purposes, but they're going to come into the hands of the children of God. For pennies on the dollar, some people will receive them for free. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Can you say a better amen?
Amen?
You should wake up in the morning and get filled with the fire. When you go to work, Lord will start to speak to you about people there. Lord will start to give you little tasks. My grandfather, if you've missed everything I've said tonight, I don't want you to miss this part. No use trying to sneak around. You're dressed like a highlighter. Love you too. Duck all you want. You're fluorescent green. Somebody say, I got the fire. My grandfather believed. Say this scripture with me. Say, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. My grandfather believed very strongly that all you had to do in Christianity was get your assignment from God for that day and then carry out that day's assignment. Then you think you're doing all these disconnected assignments, but they all, over time, you know, there's a family here. I introduced them. They asked me to come to L.A. I came and ministered to them. Then it opened up. Rodney Howard Brown called me when I was in L.A. and said, I heard you went to L.A. to go visit one family. I said, yeah, that's true. I thought he was going to say, what are you using your money for like that? You don't do that. He said, when I heard that, the Lord spoke to me to give you a message. Because you were faithful to go out and reach one family, I'm going to open up a city to you. And that's when the mayor of National City called and asked us to do a crusade. And my father and I tag-teamed it, and we had 2,203 first-time decisions for Jesus Christ. So you think you're doing disconnected things, but line upon line, precept upon precept, nobody's life in the sound of my voice tonight is going to not matter or be inconsequential. From tonight, the Lord's going to start to build something in you. And you're going to begin to build something in the kingdom. And in your generation, the devil's not going to write the last chapter of your life. You and God are going to write a chapter together, and it's going to be a glorious chapter in Jesus' name. The devil's not going to lay waste to the people of Los Angeles. The Christians of Los Angeles are going to lay waste to the powers of the devil. Can you say amen? Somebody say, I want the fire. Well, what happened when the fire jumped on that guy in Ruston, Louisiana that drove 2 hours? God gave him an assignment. I feel like if you'll pray for this, I can take it to my mother and she'll be healed. So there's something to take it. Thank God for dancing. Thank God for rolling in the aisles. Thank God for all that. Feels good to dance. Feels good to jump. Feels good to shout. But then you can take that same power and live in it. And channel it. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and begin to thank God that that anointing's coming on you right now. That anointing's coming on you right now. Pondo re kashta. Indiono mondie. Poston di arababraga. If you're filled with the Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit. L.A. will be Los Angeles, the city of angels. How can you call a city demonic that's named the City of Angels? People that came here could tell God's presence was here. I can feel God's presence here. I can feel it when I go to the ocean. I can feel it when I eat the food here. This is God's city. This city belongs to the people of God. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everywhere the sole of my foot shall tread, I'll be on land that you've given to me. Thank you, Father, that Compton and Long Beach, Huntington Beach, Los Angeles proper, all these little places, Anaheim, Orange County, thank you for your fire. Thank you for putting fresh fire in the churches. Thank you for using this meeting to make eternal impact. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? You be seated. There's a lady that was, I can't remember what she was addicted to, Suboxone, I think. And she was in South Carolina, and she found me on YouTube. She was homeless and started listening in her car. Gave her life to the Lord just listening on YouTube, and she got the fire. She heard me preach. I like preaching practical stuff. Actually, I'm going to write a book. I'm writing the outline in my hotel room in L.A. It's called You Don't Need a Breakthrough, You Need a Job.
Amen.
I'm believing God for money. You don't get money by believing for it. It's a reward for work. Can you say amen? And you can't substitute your laziness and rename it a call into the ministry. I'm called to the ministry. Well, you're 45. You should have done something by now. Get a job. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So the lady heard me preach that money is not a miracle. You work and you get paid. Not difficult to understand. That's how the Apostle Paul taught it. What's this I hear about those of you that are lazy and don't work and live idle lives? Post on Facebook 9 times a day. Go get a job. That's why your aunt that doesn't have a job posts 11 times a day on Facebook. And when you come home from working your job in L.A., said, you hear what Aunt Patty said about you? And you go, no, but I'm going to sleep. Amen. Because you're actually using your energy. And if you're watching my actual Aunt Patty, I don't know why that slipped out. You're a great lady. God bless you. So, she heard me say to get a job. And she got a job what factory was that that she got? The Dixie paper cup factory. So she's there as a part-time janitor. Then they hired her as a full-time janitor. Watching my preaching, you're not going to watch, you're not going to hang around me too long before you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Just like there's, now think of that. Just like there's people, and you would know them. I don't know them, but you would know them. In your family or friends you have. If you hang out with that guy or that lady for a while, you're going to start drinking. She's a drinker and she's an evangelist for alcohol. She's not going to let you stay around her and not drink. There's people, if you stay around them, you're going to get an anger problem. There's people, if you stay around them, you're going to start running around on your wife. They flirt with everything that moves. It's a spirit of adultery. I saw a guy sitting on a park bench and a lady walked by in Lululemon stretch pants. He went like this. I thought, buddy, you're 81. You can put your head back down. She's not going near you. You look like the guy that guarded Jesus's cup in Indiana Jones. Amen. Yeah. But just like there's people that if you get around them, they'll pull you in the wrong direction. When you leave here and get the fire, it's going to pull people in the right direction. You give them a path to follow. I said you give them a path to follow. So she starts working there. One day, she sees all of the top executives gathered around a piece of equipment. And the Lord speaks to her. She said she would clean with earbuds in, listening to me preach. So everybody say, stay in the anointing. And she said, I looked over at them and felt the Lord speak to me, go over there. So the gifts of the Spirit are like headlights on a car. The further you drive, the more you see. You don't always know the end from the beginning. God told Samuel, go to Jesse's home and then anoint one of his sons as the king. If you'd asked Jesse, he didn't know which son, Samuel, he had no clue which son he was going to anoint. But then when he got there and they stood in front of him, it came clear. So you follow the first instruction and then you get more instruction. Can you say amen? Amen. People told me, what do you believe God's going to do when you go to L.A.? I said, can I tell you on Saturday when the meetings are over? I'll tell you after it happens. Amen. I just know the instruction was to go. Then I got to meet all of you. Amen. Amen. And I'm more than glad I came. Amen. Anybody in this room is worth all of this just for you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So she goes over. It's a piece of equipment that they can't figure out how to fix. And it has shut down production at the main Dixie cup and plate factory. And when she walked over, the Lord told her exactly how to fix it because the Holy Ghost knows everything. She said, do this. Have you thought about doing this, this, and this? Now, if you're the janitor and you go over and tell the engineers what to do, that's a good way to get hit. But when she said it, they went like this. No, we haven't done that. And they did exactly what she said, and the thing started working like that. And they said, who are you? And she told him who she was. They said, what do you do? She said, I was a part-time janitor that they sent from a temp agency, but now they've made me the full-time janitor. They said, we're going to put you now. This took one day. They met with her and they put her in charge of that region of the plant. She has no engineering degree. She had no front teeth. I gave her money to get teeth. The Suboxone took all the teeth out of her head. She was living in her car 2 months before, toothless, addicted to Suboxone. And she got full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost didn't just deliver her. See, it's the whole thing. You're one of those health and wealth preachers. You got that right. Because she was addicted, God set her free. She was unhealthy, God healed her body. And she was broken living in her car. God got her a job and then put her at the top of the plant within 3 months. There is nothing that can replace the fire of the Holy Ghost. And that fire is coming in you. I don't care. You know why I say that? Because there's people that think they're disqualified. I don't have any teeth. I live in my car. I don't have a job. I don't have any education. When God pours his oil on your head, it'll take you to the top. David was so low in his family that his own dad didn't even think enough about him to bring him out to meet Samuel. Samuel said, present all your sons to me today. And Jesse said, I'm bringing most of them, but I'm leaving that little weirdo out in the field because all he does is write songs and sing it to the sheep. But it was that son in particular who valued God, who valued God's presence, that God bypassed all the other sons and everybody else in Israel and Saul's own sons and said, I'm going to make this little boy king. Because when others see somebody that doesn't matter, God sees somebody on a Thursday night that said, I'm getting to that meeting. I'm going to hear the word of God. Not only am I not going down, I want God to use me in this last hour of time. If that sounds like you, give a signal to God one more time. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say it out loud. The fire must never go out. Say, I want the fire. I want the anointing. Hallelujah. See, the fire, we've only been here a few days. This is my friend, Pastor Joshua. He just flew in from Wisconsin, I'm guessing, with his wife. Then my other friend from New Orleans. See, people are coming in from all over. You start late in the anointing, it's a magnet for people. Can you say amen? Tomorrow's going to be a blowout service. We're just getting warmed up. California's going to get smoked by the power of God. Hallelujah. How many of you have heard Snoop Dogg making positive comments about God and the Bible and saying he stopped smoking and all that? I'm telling you, a lot of these guys that grew up in church and got away from God, the devil's not going to write the final chapter of this place. You're going to hear about all kinds of celebrities getting saved. You're going to hear about people that in the 1990s mocked God and were used by the devil. God's going to save them at the end of their life, and they're going to preach the gospel. They're going to do damage to the kingdom of hell before they die. You can mark it down. In L.A., the devil's hold, if I was a demon in L.A., I'd be nervous, because his reign of terror is coming to an end tonight, and God is raising up a mighty army full of his fire to win the lost, to heal the sick, cast out devils. Hallelujah. Everybody say, the fire must never go out. Watch what happens when the fire gets on you. Play my friend in Louisiana, and then I'm going to pray for everybody.
Tell everybody your name, where you're from, and what transpired.
Amen. My name is Bo Johnson. I'm from I live in Calvin, Louisiana. I'm a pastor at the church. Me and another brother.
This is my daughter. I think she was a 9 back then. Might have been 10. Let me tell you what happens when the fire gets on you. You know why she's on the platform? She was my wife had to go home to tend to our church, and she was supposed to go home with my wife. She said, "Can I stay in the revival meetings?" I said, "Sure." So then the next day, she's getting ready at 4:30. Church is until 7. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I joined the worship team at the church that we're visiting. And rehearsal," she said, "in rehearsals at 5. And then looked at her watch, which is a fake watch that doesn't work. It's just Mickey Mouse's head or Minnie Mouse's head. Yeah, you look like you're checking the time, but I know I bought that watch. It's not even a functioning watch. Worship's at 5. And there she is on the stage after singing her. See, get on the fire. It's like, "Dad, do I have to go to church? Dad, can I play with my friends in the yard of the church?" I joined the worship team. See, don't just get in church. Get in a church that has the fire and get your kids in the fire. You won't have to make sure they're serving God. They'll make sure you're serving God. Can you say amen? I said, can you say amen? Whatever kid you have in your family that's the most lost, by the end of this year, they're going to come back to Christ and be the most on fire Christian in your whole family, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. It's done. Go ahead.
Tell everybody your name, where you're from, and what transpired.
Amen. My name is Bo Johnson. I'm from I live in Calvin, Louisiana. I'm a pastor in a church. Me and another brother, we take turns preaching on Sundays. But I had actually had been suffering an attack in my ministry because I believe what he believes, that God can heal and God can do anything. Well, my mother.
Suffering an attack in his ministry that they don't want him talking about healing. But let me tell you something. With all the stuff you could preach about, basically your life's going to be defined by whether you stand for the Holy Ghost or whether you bow your knee and patsy out. You know, the church we go to, they don't really believe in that, but I kind of feel like I'm there as a light. You feel like you're a light that's completely shut down and won't talk about anything? Make sure you don't repeat languages that compromised people repeat. Very few people say, "I've compromised and sold out," and we'll just say it out front. They're just, we didn't want to shut our church down, but we were getting a lot of threatening messages on Facebook, And our Facebook rating actually went from a 4.8 down to a 3. So what? Did they take your head off your shoulders? Did they feed you to a lion? Did you ever read church history? If you're going to walk this path, you better be ready for some resistance. Better be ready for people to spit in your face. Do you know why they had to start the Assemblies of God and the Church of God in Christ? Because they'd burn their churches to the ground that spoke in tongues. The people would burn the churches. We don't want those people in this church. If having church could solve the problems of America, America wouldn't have any problems. Even in L.A., you got to drive by 13 churches to get to the one you're getting to. But religion that's void of the power of God makes the devil happy. They're a non-entity. They'll do what they're told. They'll actually use their buildings on Sunday to further promote the wicked agendas of hell. I want to ask all the pastors and ministers that are here, when's the last time you did a 4-week series on praying in the Holy Ghost? When's the last time you prayed for anybody? Obviously, we're out of time. If you want to pray, our prayer partners are here. We got to get the parking lot cleared so we can get the next group in. Just put a drive-through window on the side of the building. Have people drop off their tithes, give them communion and a tract, and send them home. If all you're doing is separating the people from their money and giving them a quick word and clearing the parking lot, what happened to you? Is that what brought you to Bible school? A passion to have 60-minute services? Is that what had you leave your family and go to Bible school so you could have a 65? One day I want to get the mic and turn around. There's a clock counting down from 23 minutes. Get the thing out. I was listening to a guy on YouTube today, and I like him. And I heard him. He was preaching. I know the feeling. He was preaching, and he looked up at the clock. This is a big church. And he went, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "I feel like I just started my message. I'm already out of time." And the crowd yelled back, "Keep going." And he said, "No, I know." But then the children's workers are working hard back there. And he said, if I go longer, I'm going to have to get all new children's workers. You know what I'd do? I'd go longer and I'd get all new children's workers. If I couldn't get volunteers from the church, I'd hire them from the Red Cross. I'd hire prisoners on work release. Just keep them supervised. Amen. I wouldn't run my ministry based on the fatigue of my children's workers. You know what's better? Get people that are so on fire for God. Instead of getting a bunch of old wineskin losers that are upset if they have to watch kids. You know, here's a thought. If you don't like watching kids, maybe don't volunteer for the children's ministry. If you worked at a daycare, you don't watch them for an hour. You watch them for 8 hours. Yeah, but they're wild. Then for snack time, pass out NyQuil PM. Get creative. Wrap it in a fruit roll-up or something. I think I've admitted to about 3 felonies in the last 8 minutes. It's like the cart. The cart's ahead of the horse. It's like the tail's wagging the dog. There's a church not long ago. They were packed to the walls with extra seats. I'm talking thousands of people. And they said we're shutting the revival down. They didn't say this publicly, but I know the people behind the scenes. We're shutting it down because I don't want to wear our staff out. If your staff doesn't like going to church, tell them to get a job that doesn't involve going to church. Because you could actually find people. Where's Abraham? See, I don't hire people that don't like the work of the Lord. That's why a lot of our church are West Africans. Because in West Africa, being involved in church work is seen as higher than being a professional athlete or a professional musician. It's an honor to be in the work of the Lord. And so you can actually find people that are on fire for God. If you can't find white people, then don't hire white people. Hire people that come from a culture where they actually esteem God and esteem the church and esteem the Bible and don't feel like they're doing God a favor to serve in church. You can't have revival with a staff that hates being in church. Shut down a revival meeting because, you know, we've been in church every night. I was at a church. We were in full-out revival. And I said to the pastor, "Are we extending or not? Place is packed." And his wife spoke up. "Well, no, maybe not, because none of us have had a chance to do laundry." We were talking to the staff. Nobody's had a chance to do laundry. "Okay, I'm out of here. I don't like you. I like you enough to go to heaven. and that's it. Whatever the line is to get into heaven, I like you just above that, and that's it. Laundry, laundry. You can't buy a 3-pack of undershirts at TJ Maxx and a 3-pack of boxer briefs and some socks. You can't have faith for $31. Buy a pair of jeans. How much do a couple outfits cost at TJ Maxx? You can't drop $100 and drop your laundry off. How much do they charge per pound for laundry, Abraham, when we drop our laundry off on the road? Yes, I'm not going to hold you to this legally. I just need a number. $7 a pound? The whole load, $70. But like a pound, what is it? $4, $5, $7, California, $91. The point is, how about just dropping your laundry off, dumb? You have a visitation from God that's going to grow and explode your church. That you and your husband that are believing to be in full-time ministry, the Lord's answering the prayer, and you're too hung up on Downy fabric softener and getting laundry done to see it. You know why the Lord's having me preach this right now? Because I'm not in a bad mood. I'm in a good mood. Some people that are praying for revival, what good would it be for the Lord to send it? Because when it came, you wouldn't recognize it and you'd miss it. But you will not miss this last move of God. You're in the flow now. You're going to stay in the flow, and you're going to see the benefit of the Holy Ghost moving your church and life and ministry from where it is now to where God has you to be. If you receive that, go ahead and do what you're already doing. Give the Lord a mighty hand clap. Give the Lord a great shout of praise. All right, play my friend from Louisiana from the beginning. Let's get this show on the road.
Tell everybody your name, where you're from, and what transpired.
Amen. My name is Bo Johnson. I'm from, I live in Calvin, Louisiana. I'm a pastor in a church. Me and another brother, we take turns preaching on Sundays. But I had actually had been suffering an attack in my ministry because I believe what he believes, that God can heal and God can do anything. Well, my mother was diagnosed with cancer over a week ago in her kidneys.
Where was the cancer in her kidneys?
Kidneys. And I mean, she was bad. She got to where she could only eat a grape, maybe drink some juice and throw up. That's how bad it was. And Brother Jonathan, I appreciate you, brother, because you care.
I care, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm super compassionate.
And as I spoke to him, he just spoke a minute. I said, but the real reason I came here tonight was my mother has cancer, and I don't want to see her die. And he just put everything down and said, come here. He prayed for me. And as he prayed, at the end of the prayer, he said, these hands that I'm holding in my hands, if you'll leave and go pray, put those hands on your mother, she'll rise and she'll be healed. And listen, I left out of here happy that he said that. And then I got to the car and my wife is back there and I called her and told her what she said. And she said, are you leaving now? I said, I think I will. So at 12:30 Sunday night, I show up at Cabrini Hospital in Alexandria, Louisiana from here.
And which is how far?
Oh, gosh, 2 hours. I went straight there, and I drove. And listen, I got there, and I said, how am I going to get in? They're not going to let me in, because you know how funny they are now. And we had been coming in on the side door. Well, I just happened to look. There's another door, and somebody had put a piece of something and propped that door open. I went right in. I went up there, and I'd already called my brother and told him I was coming, and I walked in the door. I said, Mom, I come here with a prayer. The evangelist told me to pray and put my hands on you, and you're going to be healed. I pulled everything back, and I laid my hands on her kidneys just like he said. I prayed, and I walked out the door believing. I didn't stay 5 minutes. I told Mom, I'll see you tomorrow. I got to go to work. I left. The next morning, my brother calls, hey, Mama's eating. Mama's eating. Today, she ate chicken.
Wait, there's more.
Today, she ate chicken, she ate cake, she drank milk,
positive.
And she done everything.
That's the most Pentecostal meal I've ever heard of in my life. Chicken, cake, and milk. What would you like for your main dish? Oh, chicken. Okay, we have baked potato, french fries, salad, cake, and milk. Only in church is milk a beverage. Continue.
Today, she ate chicken.
Wait, there's more.
Today, she ate chicken, she ate cake, she drank milk. I mean, she done everything. the, They ordered 15 tests today trying to find the cancer. They can't find it.
Come on, give Jesus a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. The fire, when it gets on you, it won't just stay on you. It'll go on others. You'll lay your hands on the sick. The sick will recover. In my name, you'll cast out devils. I'm telling you, what you're getting tonight's not staying with you. God's going to use you to wreck every plan of the devil. I said, God's going to use you tonight. From this night forward, you're going to be a major harassment to the powers of darkness. In Jesus' mighty name. I said, in Jesus' mighty name. Just lift your hands wherever you're at and begin to thank Him. Thank Him in English. Thank Him in Spanish. Thank Him in Mandarin. Thank Him in Austrian. Thank Him in Hungarian. But thank Him with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. Come on, lift Him up. Talk to Him. Tell Him you love Him. Thank Him for the fire. Thank Him for fresh fire. Thank Him that the fire will never go out. Thank Him that the fire is going to start spreading from you to others. Come on, pray. Come on, L.A. Ricotoste babraka. Indiana mondie. Costoni araba. Brindiana mondie. Yeah, you're not going to be a victim of the devil. You're going to make a victim out of the devil. You're not going to be a victim of the devil. You're going to make a victim out of the devil. Let me pray for this young guy in the front row. Yeah, come right forward. Power of God's on you. Anybody I call out, I got a blessing for you. Lift both hands, close both eyes. Fire of God's on you. God's going to use you like He uses my wife to talk to people that other people think are too rough. But God's going to give you the words to say and the power to speak with that's going to soften even the hardest heart, says the Lord, in Jesus' name. That's it. Go right through you. Let me pray. Let me pray for this lady with her hands up with the San Diego shirt and the lady neck. You with the glasses and you with the glasses. Come right up. Nice to meet you. You stand right there. You guys know each other how? That's awesome. Both of you lift both hands, close both eyes. Power of God's on you. At the end of that video, came right on you. You'll never be the same from today. In Jesus. And you're going to get a bonus. Lord heals your body. You look healthy to look at you, but all your blood levels go to normal. That's it. In Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you something. Why do they run 15 tests to find out that somebody doesn't have cancer? Only takes one test. We've been having people healed where the cancer is so severe that, yes, you know, maybe you could not have cancer, but it's got to be somewhere. It can't just leave. Or maybe it moved to another part of your body. So between the two things, where is it? You know, there's got to be some left. We must be missing something. But God's an amazing God. Can you say amen? Mind if I pray for you, this nice guy? Step right out into the aisle. Lift both hands, close both eyes. As you do, the power of God comes upon you. Even stronger. More, more, and more. That's right. Go right through you. Be healed in your body. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, we've been finding people are hungry everywhere. But you can see why God kind of chose this place as where to birth the latter rain in 1906. You can see the hunger. People love the Holy Ghost here. California's a spiritual place anyway. Might as well point them to the top. You know, I always wanted to find out if the spirit world's real, and we all know in California it is, why serve a lesser spirit? It's like Jehovah's Witnesses. They teach that if you ever hear somebody speak in tongues, just run. Well, that shows you that whatever they have is... So there's no scripture in the Bible where Jesus said, if you ever come across this kind of spirit, just run. Because even the devil's under your feet. So that's how you know you're serving the top. Every other religion tells you, if you ever come across this, just wave the white flag and go. That's a spirit we don't know how to deal with. But you never read about that in the Bible, because God isn't a God. He's the Most High God. And above Him, there is none. There's nobody beside Him either. Can you say amen? You mind if I pray for this lady I think you have a braid hair, like a, yep, step right out. Take three steps forward, lift both hands. As you do, the power of God comes upon you. There it is. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you're playing and have on your heart, go ahead and sing it one time through. Every hand lifted. As you sing, the anointing will get stronger.
I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with the heart of thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will bless thee, O Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, oh Lord, hey, I will bless thee, oh Lord, with the heart of thanksgiving.
One more time, sing it with everything
thee,
that's in
you. Lord, hey, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise.
The Lord's touching too many people at once to call out, except that guy that's been, I think you've been in every meeting and you talk to me about how you feel the Lord calling you into the ministry. It's you. Come right around. I'm going to give you something special tonight from the Lord. This is an anointing. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. Lift both hands, close both eyes. There's a guy in our Bible school that preached an outreach, and he preached so good, and he's not a preacher's kid or anything. I said, you preach great. Where'd you get the anointing to preach? He said, do you remember when I came to see you in Louisville, Kentucky, and you laid hands on me, and then you kept coming by me and putting your hand back on my stomach? He said, after that night, he said, I just thought going to work, instead of listening to ESPN radio or whatever, I'm going to put on preaching. And he said, I just started listening to preaching 4 hours a day, not realizing what had happened. So that was an impartation to preach the gospel. I'm going to lose, because for whatever reason, you have like 200 people go to Bible school and maybe get one good preacher out of the 200. They just don't. I don't know what happens. But the Lord's going to start raising up preachers under that anointing where you'll preach as a young man like you've been preaching for 15 or 20 years. And I loose that to you by the laying on of hands, the anointing to preach the word of God with power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Before I lay hands on everybody, if you're here tonight and something happened in life that caused the fire to go out, and while I was preaching on this, you say to yourself, boy, when I saw you walking over towards me, I'm glad you're on my side. Amen. I thought I might be going to meet the Lord briefly. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to do that tonight. You're not joining anything. I live in Pittsburgh. I'm here through tomorrow night. This is to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To lay your head on your pillow tonight and know you have peace with God. Not some half Christianity. I'm trying my best. I go to church. I started reading the Bible. I'm very spiritual. None of that gets you into heaven. You can own all the Bibles in the world. That's not a substitute for being born again. And if you've fallen into sin, see, when the fire goes out, you get lukewarm. Live with somebody you're not married to. Start drinking. And then there's other people. I was talking to people since I've been here. And I don't write much off to the devil. But one person told me about an attack that came into their life. It was so demonic. Perfect family. Then somebody had a health problem. They put them on medication. They got addicted to the pills and then messed the whole thing up. So there's some people the devil did one attack and it kind of shot through the whole family and messed everything up. Divorce came from it. Sickness came from it. And if you were honest, you're here tonight. You say, Jonathan, there is something the enemy, I see it now, the enemy did it to mess my life up. But I'm not going to give the devil the satisfaction of his plan coming to fruition. I'm going to put a stop to his plan tonight, and you can do that very easily by repenting and giving your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to live my life for God. I'm going to live my life according to his word. And I'm not putting it off one more day. I make a decision tonight to repent of sin and make Jesus Christ my Lord. And I want to pray with you. If I flew all the way to pray with just you, I'd be happy to do it. This is what I do. If you're here and you say, Jonathan, that's me. I haven't been living like I should. But I want to be on fire for God. I want to give him my everything. Jesus will either be everything or he'll be nothing at all. He wants all of you. He gave you all of him. He died on a cross, bled out all his blood for you. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you once did and you fell back into sin, you got lukewarm, you know you need to come back tonight. I want you to quickly put your hand up high and wave it at me, and we're going to pray in Jesus' name. I see you. Keep it up. That's awesome. That is so awesome. 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 Might be the biggest one of the week so far. Everyone that lifted their hand and meant business with God, please quickly come out of your seat and come join me at the front. Don't leave me standing by myself. Let's pray. Come, clap for them as they come. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come right to the front. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You can start lining up more towards that way. Don't leave them on the ground. Leave them down. It's fine. Let them stay. Let the Lord work on them. Don't be in a hurry to get off the operating table. Anybody else before we pray? I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give my life to the Lord. I'm so glad you came. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And the only reason I'm giving you the words to say is some people have never prayed. So I want to give you what to say, but say it from your heart to God. And even as you're praying it, God's going to reach down. The Bible says, I'll take out your old heart and I'll give you a new heart. I'll take out your old heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh, a heart that's responsive to God. Even as you're praying, say this, Heavenly Father, I've come forward tonight to give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness. By the blood of Jesus, I am saved. I am forgiven. I am clean. In Jesus' name. Now lift your hands. Let me bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Whatever hold the enemy had on you before tonight, that hold is loosed now. In Jesus' name. It will not be a struggle to live for God. It'll be a joy to live for God. The things you used to want to do, you won't want them anymore. The desires you used to have, you won't have them anymore. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Years back, there was something that happened and it opened a door to something bad in your life. But the Lord is ejecting that bad thing from your life and you'll never battle that again. That's it. It comes out. Every uncleanness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Totally free. Totally free. Totally free. In Jesus' name. Your mind's going to be completely at peace from today. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands. A sound mind. In Jesus' name. That's it. Go right through you. You'll never be the same. Every unclean thing. Go! There's the fire. Go right through you. Take more. Take more. Life's not going to be a struggle anymore. In Jesus' name. That's it. Go right through you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord. I give you praise, O Lord. I give you honor, O Lord. I give you glory. Just let the Lord touch you. I think I missed you. Be blessed. Be healed in your body. Have the best year. Everything the enemy attacked you with, it goes now. I see everything turning around. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I know normally we send everybody over to the altar team. You guys can come see him in a little bit, but just let the Lord continue to touch you at the altar. I'm going to pray for everybody that wants prayer tonight, and I want to add something into the fire. What does the fire do? The Bible says that they put new ropes around Samson. Everybody say new ropes. And when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, it gives you the impression in some translations that he broke the ropes, but the original language says, When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, the ropes fell off as if they were burned by fire. The Bible says in Proverbs, a man's sins are like ropes that catch and hold him, and he's not free to do what he wants. If you've been bound by something, there's something that makes it difficult to serve the Lord. The fire will burn those ropes. If the fire can burn off physical ropes, how much easier can it burn off invisible ropes? Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? Amen? Every rope, every chain, every prison door, the anointing destroys it tonight, and you leave here on total fire for God in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, can you shout a loud amen?
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.